As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. How many of you have ever played the game Simon Says? Not everybody, okay, but the majority of us have. Simon Says is a game about following instructions, isn't it? If I was to say, play it now, which we're not, but if I was, I had to say, Simon Says, jump on one foot, what would you do? Jump on one foot. If I then said, stop, would you stop or would you carry on? You carry on. If I said, Simon Says, pick your nose, some people might go out voluntarily at that point. Sorry. Being looked at. But you do, you get the idea that we do. You play the Simon Says game is you follow the instruction if the word Simon says comes before it. If it doesn't, you don't. When you are younger, your parents might say, they said to me, Nicholas, follow me. Or if your grandparents leading you, say, look, follow me, I know where I'm going. Sharon's dad was brilliant at that. He said, follow me, I know where I'm going, and he's gone. And you've got to be quick to follow him, because otherwise you lose him. Because he knows exactly the best place to get the ticket for the train, where there isn't a queue, things like that. And you know, perhaps you've had experiences like that where someone has said, follow me. And you've had to really keep up. It's often like that when you're following somebody in the car and say, I know where I'm going, follow me. And the next thing you know, they're gone. And you're thinking, well, give me a chance to get started. And when you're in a convoy, you've got to work together, haven't you? You have to follow. And therefore, if you're leading, you've got to allow people to follow you appropriately. Peter, Andrew, and James, I'm going to use this one, and John were fishermen. Fishing was their job, wasn't it? They weren't doing it as a part-time hobby like I do. I might go fishing very occasionally. These guys were professionals. Every day they let down their nets, they caught their fish, they cleaned their fish, they sold them, and they did that day after day after day. They did the same things over and over again. Jesus walked right up to them and offered to turn their routine into an adventure. Do you know that? He offered to change their routine into an adventure. There is no life more adventurous than a life completely given to God. Do you know that? Whether you're 5 or 50 or 100, there's no life more adventurous than saying, I will follow you, Jesus. When Jesus takes over, things get exciting. Being a true follower of Jesus Christ is the height of an extreme life. If you're one of those people that is like an adrenaline junkie who likes to do the most extreme things, jumping off of bridges with a bungee cord, swimming with sharks, jumping out of planes, whatever it might be, I can tell you, being a follower of Jesus is an adrenaline-filled life. Okay, Jesus says, follow me. He doesn't say, copy me. It's not like he's standing at the photocopier going, right, eat. That's 15 copies of me, we're away. Does he? He says, follow me. And when we follow somebody, it's completely different to than just copying somebody. Now, some of us
we may think, okay. Maybe we've been copying rather than following. And the challenge this morning is to think about being a follower, not a copier. Yes, I know in Scripture it says, you know, Jesus is following, you know, copy, you know, to do what I do. But it's out of following. It's out of following. Following Jesus begins with seeing yourself as a helpless sinner. This is very important. And there may be many people who have difficulty with this point. In our human nature, we want to believe that there is something good about us. We think, well, I'm okay. But we're not. We're not. We're told in Romans chapter 3, 23, believe in ourselves. But we, in the Bible it says, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. How many times would a person have to steal a car to be considered a thief, do you think? Joel thinks one. Finn, how many times do you think you need to be if you're going to steal a car? Do you think you're a thief? Do you think, is it one or more than one? It's one, isn't it? If you steal a car just once, you're a car thief. And do you know what? If you steal something from a shop just the once, you could be a shoplifter. If you just sin once, whether it's saying to your mum, yes, I have tidied my room when you haven't, or I didn't borrow the car and crunch it when you did, or I didn't go over the speed limit, officer, honest. Whatever it might be, a little sin, you still sinned. You still are a sinner. Following Jesus means that you have faith. You trust that he's going to provide for you. Philippians 4:19 says this, my God will meet all your needs. He will meet them in keeping with his wonderful riches that come to you because you belong to Christ Jesus. Everyone needs forgiveness from sin, and Jesus provides that. Everyone needs his or her physical needs taken care of, and Jesus provides that. Jesus even provides the way to eternal life. When we lack faith, it is often because we don't trust that God will provide. We don't trust that he will provide. Because I know my mum and dad had provided for me, and I bet, you know, Paul and Louise provide for Finn and Marika. I bet Pat, Samuel and Josh, your mum and dad provided for you, haven't they? They haven't said, right, off you go. You find your own food. We're quite comfortable here. Off you go. They provided for you. Dominic, other than the fact you've had to cycle this morning, which is amazing, but they provide for you, don't they? Everyone, you know, you can all know that we've been provided for. Now, God provides for us even more so, in that he's given us an opportunity to have eternal life if we follow him. We can trust God because of what the Bible teaches, as we learned in our last series, and because of how we've seen him work in the past. Following Jesus means listening to him and seeing that he is God. This is where the following stands out from the copying. Because sometimes you might hear God say something that would challenge you. That may be uncomfortable. Following Jesus means saying yes to him and no to other things. Peter and James, they had to say no to fishing and yes to following. Maybe sometimes you're thinking, no, you can't be asking me to do that. I need to be doing this. But Jesus might say, no, I want you to do that. I want you to do something completely different, which may be uncomfortable. which may be really challenging because those guys were fishermen. They're happy talking to each other and catching fish. They weren't used to talking to people. They probably didn't know many people because they smelt of fish. They had a social, you know, they worked at unsocial hours. I bet, you know, they probably didn't have many friends. I know when I used to work in an egg factory at night, I'd come home and my mum would say, "God, you stink. Go and have a shower." And I didn't smell it. I couldn't tell it. And I bet the fishermen, if you work with fish, what's going to happen? You're going to smell of fish. And not everybody likes the smell of fish. It's not an alluring smell, is it, for some people? And the fact that they were working nights. So this was, they were moving into a role where you want you to go and talk publicly to people. We want you to meet people. They're going, "Hang on a second, I don't do that. I sit in a boat and I cast a net and I pull up fish." But God, through Jesus, says, "Do it. Follow me." Following Jesus means that we must listen and obey. Following Jesus means that we listen and obey and do things his way. Now that's the difficult bit, isn't it? Because we might listen and we might hear and then we say, "Great God, I'm going to do it this way." And I can be guilty of doing that. And I imagine we can all say, actually, we're all guilty of doing that. "I've got a better way, God. I think this is the way to do it." But God says, "Do it my way. It's so much easier." Are you willing to be his disciple? Are you willing to be a follower rather than a copier? I want to be a follower. I don't want to be a copy. I don't want to be like Dolly the sheep. I don't want to be a clone. Because I've got my own personality. It'd be really bad if everybody in this room looked just like me, acted just like me, wouldn't it? That's fine. You can say yes. I'm not going to get upset because I know that actually we need everybody to be who we are, don't we? We're all called to follow, but we're not all then to say, "Now you need to act all exactly the same. You need to be a clone of one another." No. We all need to be who we are, but following Christ, who is the central part of our lives. If we do that, then we'll demonstrate what it is to really know Jesus. So be a follower, not a copier. Because I don't want people here who are copies of Jesus, who are so holy that they're no earthly use. I want people who are, you know, real. We're all damaged people. Not one of us here has lived a perfect life. If you have, then I'm sorry. I don't think we have. We all have made a fallen short. We all have an opportunity to live for him. And he uses our weaknesses for his glory. So yes, we're all called to follow. Not to be copies, but to be followers. And that means each one of us hasn't got an excuse. Because if you're a copy, you think, "Well, I'm not a copy yet because I'm still not quite there." Do you know what it says on some three pictures in that back room that the ladies had for their ladies away day? Believe, belong, become. And I want us to become people that believe in Jesus or belong to Jesus, that believe in him, and then are becoming more to be like him. Because not one of us has got it right yet. We're all becoming. We're all getting nearer and nearer. And that's why we're followers. All right? It's an encouragement this morning to say, be a follower, not a copy. Because that's what Jesus can use. He uses followers for his glory. Whatever age we are. You might be 15, 14, think, "I'm not worth it, I can't do anything." You can. Be a follower in your situation. If you're 50, be a follower in your situation. I've got Some questions for you to take away today, not to look at now. I'm going to copy them and give them out. Four things I'd like you to think about. What does it mean to be a disciple? How would people know that you are a disciple? How do you think that the disciples made more disciples? And how would you try and do that? Four questions for you to take away, to talk with your friends, to talk as a family, and consider in light of being a follower, which is basically being a disciple. Some questions there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're called to be followers, not copies. And though being a follower is sometimes hard, it is what you call us to be. And in listening to that call, we can have a completely full and an adrenaline-filled life. Because living for you is not boring. Living for you is not dry. Living for you is a fulfilling life. So help us all seek to become followers, not copies. Amen.